may have not any money. You may be hungry. You may have lack. You may have need. You may not be feeling well. But you can still give thanks. And when you do that, praise and thankfulness is related to faith. Because it takes faith to praise. It takes faith to be grateful. It takes faith to reach out when you're not feeling like it. So faith and praise and worship are all related. And so this week I want to focus on the power of praise, but in regards to being thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, that's hard. In everything, give thanks. That's hard. That is really hard. Think about it. Giving thanks in everything. Right? Got a bill. Can you give thanks? I don't know. Got an electric bill. Can you give thanks? Got a pink slip. Can you give thanks? That's a test. That's why I said that praise is so related to faith. Because it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Because we talk about belief in God and how much we believe in God, but it's proven in our actions. And one of the actions it's proven in is when we still thank God in praise. Amen. When we come here and we may not feel like it, we may be feeling just came here out of the motions. But when we come into the house of God, the Bible says, enter into his courts with thanksgiving. Lord, thank you. You woke me up this morning. Amen. I was able to get up. I was able to come here. You know, a few months ago, I was in such great pain. I never had experienced that kind of pain in my lower back and in my leg. And even to the point of one Sunday, I wasn't able to make it. I am so glad I'm here today. I'm so glad I'm not in pain today. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It takes faith to give thanks when things are not going right. How do you do that? How do you give thanks when something negative has just happened? Sister Johnny, I see you jump up.
Candidate today.
And I want to thank God for that, because you the only way you'll be able to give God thanks is you've already been through some things. God have already showed you some things. He's already brought you out of some things. He's already done some things for you. So it's time for you to go back and remember. And then that's the way you'll be able to give God thanks.
Amen. Amen. I forgot to give a shout out to Sister Reese. Charisse. Amen. Glad to see her. And also Sister Susan was away as well. We're so glad that she's here today. Amen. Amen. You're right. If you have been through some things, if you have some faith, you can give thanks because you believe that God has got your back. If you believe God has got your back and you believe what we teach, then you can get through all kinds of challenges. But if you don't believe that God's got your back, then you're going to be in a sorry state. You're going to be, you know, that's why people become hopeless. They become suicidal because they come to the point in their lives where they don't believe there's any hope. But if you're a Christian, there's always hope. Amen. I always believe the glass is half full because God's got the pitcher about to fill it up for me. Amen. And Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, told them, listen, in everything, give thanks. We see that. Can anyone think of an example in the Bible of someone giving thanks in a negative situation? There's many.
Job was one of the, David, when he was, when the Israel's army was faced with the Philistines, and that was a very negative situation because for 40 days that giant came and was taunting the Israelites. And he said, I remember I killed a bear and a lion. Who was this, you know, this giant before me? And he went forth with faith. He knew what God had done for him in the past.
All right, thankfulness and praise. Anyone else? Another Bible character? I heard someone say it. Job, right? Job was thankful even when things went from bad to worse. right? The Bible says in all this, Job never charged God foolishly. You know, he never shook his fist at God and said, Lord, why did this happen? It's so tempting to say, to ask those questions. And yet he's already given us the answer, hasn't he? The Lord has already told us, in this life, you shall have tribulation. So why are you shaking your fist at God? He's already told you, you're going to have tribulation. They did it to the master. The servant is not greater than the master. So if they did it to me, he's going to do it to you too. In this life, we are going to have tribulation. So we should not think it strange, the Bible says, the fiery trials. So therefore, if we have tribulation, it's because the devil hates us. Amen? Therefore, we can give thanks. Lord, we talked last week. I know we went over last week about Paul and Silas in prison, about to face execution in the worst part of the prison. They started thanking God because they had been locked up and put in jail. Think about that. They started worshiping. Lord, thank you. You let the devil lock us up because we were so strident for you. We made the devil so scared of us, he had to throw us in prison to stop your word going forth. It's an honor. It's an honor to be suffering for your name. Isn't that what the Bible says? Amen. It's an honor. Now, when you start praying like that, when you start praising God like that, something's going to happen. Amen. You know, at midnight, they made so much noise, all the other prisoners heard it. They were probably saying, these people are crazy. Don't they know they're going to be put to death tomorrow? And they're worshiping and thanking God. I mean, that is faith. When you can praise him in despite your circumstance, when you can praise him when you're going through pain, hallelujah, thankfulness, amen, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. This is something we need to remind ourselves this week. You're going to go through some days this week where you don't feel like giving thanks. Maybe even right now you're not too happy. Maybe you can think of all kinds of negative things that would take away your joy. But just think, you know, the devil hates me so much that he wants to take away my joy. He did that to me this morning. Let me confess, I wasn't in a great mood this morning. When I stepped in the church, I was not in a great mood. Some things upset me. But you know what? I have made a choice today. I'm going to let the devil take my joy. Amen. First of all, the praise belongs to him, right? It belongs to him. It's not mine to keep. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for all that you have done. Amen. Because some of the things that God allows in our life is so that we remain humble. It's so that we will thank him. It's some people don't want to pray until they're in a real crisis. And that's the only way God can have a conversation with them is when they're in a crisis. Then they will pray. Then they will seek him out. Amen. Well, let's move on. We did the first week worship, and today we're going to be studying thankfulness. Next week, we're going to look at praise as a weapon. Praise as a weapon. And finally, praise as faith in action. So let's look at thankfulness. And I want to start with what we see in the Bible of people who are doing the opposite of praise. What would you think is the opposite of praise?
Complaining.
Absolutely, Sister Madeline, that's awesome. Complaining. So now think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Think about your last week, this last week. How many times have you complained? Let's be honest. To ourselves. Man. Man, what did it do? If all those thoughts could come out and people could see them, man, they would be pretty unpleasant. They'd be like horrible smells, you know? Like someone did something and you want to get away from them. You understand what I'm talking about? A gaseous eruption. Imagine if our thoughts came out like that. You're right. The opposite of thankfulness is complaining. Complaining and murmuring. And just going on and on. And you know what? We have so much to thank God for. We read the parable in the New Testament of the servant who was forgiven a huge amount. And the moment he was forgiven of the huge amount, he went outside and grabbed his fellow servant by the neck and said, "Pay me all you owe." Wasn't that ungrateful? And yet we think we're not like that, but we do the same thing every time we complain and murmur. Let me tell you a revelation that's not a revelation. The reason why we don't get blessed is because of complaining. We are not grateful enough. We're not grateful enough. Let's look at this in the Old Testament. The children of Israel had been slaves for 400 odd years. Slavery, right? God had miraculously freed them through 10 just enormous miracles, things that nobody could deny, that were open, finally leading up to drying up the Red Sea, them walking across free. Then, not only drying up the Red Sea, but killing all of Pharaoh's army. Imagine if you saw all of that. Would you be doubtful that God took them out of Egypt, brought them into a desert? The moment that part finished, you know what they started doing? Complaining. He brought us out here to kill us. Think about it. If God wanted to kill them, he'd have just left them in Egypt. But do we do the same thing? Do we do the same thing? I mean, he delivered them through 10 enormous miracles, dried up the Red Sea, killed Pharaoh's army. And the moment, it took only 3 days. 3 days after that, Moses brought his thing here. You know, and they just started complaining. So God was so patient and loving. He let water come out of a rock. The Bible said that their clothes didn't even age. They had food in the morning till they got sick of it. Did that stop them complaining? You know, some people will find something to complain about. God was so merciful. If you think, he put up with them for all this time. Finally they came, he took them all the way to the Canaan. And it only took about 2 years the first time to get to Canaan. They sent out the spies. And in Numbers 13:32 it said, they brought back an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature." You know what? We can't conquer this land. We might as well give up. And they started to murmur and complain and turn on Moses and Joshua and tell them, "Look, why did you bring us?" You know, it's like they had amnesia. A lot of us have spiritual amnesia. I want to remind you of what God has done for you. I can remember the miracles he's done for me. You've heard me tell them. And we come to the next challenge and we get so nervous and we start, wow, how are we going to get through this? And I'm speaking to myself today. We have to remember what God has already done. Lord, I'm going to thank you. I'm going to thank you. Despite I don't know how it's going to work out, I am going to praise you with everything I've got because you're in charge of this. I'm your child. You know, as the song said, he didn't bring you all this way to leave you, right? I mean, if God would really, if they had any brains, they would have understood. God wouldn't have taken them out of Egypt just to kill them here. The Bible says, "He that hath begun a good work in you." Has God done a good work in you? He is able. My truly, truly most favorite scripture is the one that my father used to always close the service with. "Unto him that is able to keep us from falling." And this is the beautiful part. This is the miracle part. And to present us, me, you, faultless. Think about that. Man, that should make us start thanking him right now. Me with all my warts, all my failures, all my mess ups. He is able to present you, me, faultless before the presence of his glory. Hallelujah. So we see that as Sister, my brain is going. Madeline said, the opposite of praise is complaining. And we're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. Man, I got to do this now. Man, I got to take all them seats out the van and put them all back. Yes, we find stuff to complain about. Imagine if we found stuff to praise God about. I'm telling you, there would be more miracles in our lives. God would say, man, you know what attracts, you want to be around grateful, joyful people, right? There's nothing worse than being around unhappy, miserable people. Do you want to be around people with stinking attitudes? Always going, I like being around people who are happy and joyful, you know? And it's the same with God. You want his presence? Well, I'm going ahead of my lesson here, because one of the things I want to tell you is thankfulness attracts God's presence. Hallelujah. Amen. Thankfulness attracts. And the other thing that the opposite, complaining, does, it blinds us. For some reason, they could not see what God had already done. All they could see was their present situation. So unthankfulness or complaining blinds us. It blinds us to what God has already done, that we can't even remember it. All we can see is this present mess, this present problem, and we start murmuring and complaining. There were so many times that they wanted to kill Moses and complained about him. And man, you brought us out here into this desert for what? See, they couldn't understand. It blinded them. You know, us looking at it now said, well, how could these people be like that? How could they possibly be like that when God had done so many miracles? That's what unthankfulness and complaining, the opposite of praise, does. It blinds us to what God has already done. Amen. Let's look at some other things that it does. So I tell you what it does. It makes us focus on the actions of people instead of the providence of God. It starts, what did they do? They focused on Moses. It was your fault. See, when we're unthankful, instead of giving praise, we start to blame people. I want to show you something about Joseph that was so great. Genesis 50:19. After many years, when his brothers showed up, Joseph said unto them, and they now were fearful. Once they realized who he was and what position he now held, they were thinking, man, he's going to get us back. He was going to get us back. But you see, Joseph knew something. Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Vengeance belongs to God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Sometimes the struggle we're going in, the circumstances we're going in, is God moving us, because we would never have moved. We would never have moved. God manipulated Joseph into the place that in the end he became their deliverer. Now, would Joseph have ended up as the prince of the prime minister of Egypt if he hadn't gone through some struggles? No. It was because the woman lied on him that he ended up in prison. It was because he was in prison he met the butler and the baker. And it was because of God's providence that finally they remembered him in prison. You see, the circumstances we're going in, God has a purpose. We may not see the purpose, but if we truly have faith, we will be thankful. Can you give thanks now? Can you give thanks now? We may not understand it. It may make no sense. In fact, it may look the opposite. Lord, you gave me this dream. You gave me this dream that my brothers were going to bow down to me. But it's going the wrong way, Lord. Now I'm in prison in Egypt. They're in Canaan, 700 miles away. But God has a plan and a purpose. If we're thankful, it will come to pass. The Bible says, in the fullness of time. In the fullness of time. You know, let's look at this. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am not in the place of God. He wasn't going to try and get them back, because he now saw how God used their what they meant for ill, and God used it. He turned it around and brought good to it. Now therefore fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God, let's say, but God.
But God.
One more time, but God.
But God.
See, when God shows up, you can say, but God. Doesn't matter what the devil meant it for, but God. He can turn it around. If we are thankful, if we are grateful, amen, hallelujah. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. You may say, well, my suffering ain't going to save nobody, but you know you're wrong. You don't know what circumstance God can use you to put you in a place that you would not have been in but for what you went through. Let me say that again. Sometimes the circumstance you're in puts you in a place where you would not have been but for going through that circumstance. Lord, I don't understand this, but I'm going to give you thanks. It makes no sense, but I'm going to give you thanks. And when we do that, you know what we do? We unleash. We open up. We allow God to say, all right now, but God. But God. See, Joseph had had a vision. And sometimes the Bible says we have to wait upon that vision. Even though it tarry. That means even though wait upon the vision. God has got a plan for your life. It may not look obvious. It may not look nice at the time. It may not make no sense. But God. You meant it for evil. But you know, Romans 8:28, right? And we know all things work together for the good that to them that love God and are the called. Are the called. So when we do the opposite and we're unthankful, what we're doing is we are setting ourselves up for failure. Amen. Let's look at some other things the opposite of praise does. We will praise only when our circumstance is good. That's easy, isn't it? I got the job. I got the house. I got the car. Come to church, do your dance. That's great. That's great. But that's not a sacrifice of praise, is it? A sacrifice is when you didn't get the job. I didn't get the job. What's wrong with you? I'm praising God. But you didn't get the job. I'm praising God. That's a sacrifice. That's the sacrifice. Now, when you do that, and I'm getting that's actually a weapon. When you do that, that really beats the devil up completely. That leaves him scratching his leg. That's for next week. Look, in Philippians 4:11, this is what Paul says. Not that I speak in respect of want. He was talking to the Philippian church who had sent him some funds or some means of sustenance. And he was replying to them. And he says, listen, I am grateful for what you sent. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Say, I've learned. See, sometimes when we go through things, you know what's happening? We're in school. We're learning that God can take you through a down situation. God can take you through a desert experience. God can take you through a famine experience. God can take you through when they're threatening to cut off the electric bill. God can take you through when they're threatening to take back the car. So Paul had been through these experiences. So he said, I have learned. You see, once you have learned a few things and you're not blinded by complaining, you can remember the Dead Sea experience. You can remember how he rained down bread out of the sky. You can remember how he brought the quail. Amen. Once you stop complaining and say, you know what? There's somebody much worse off than me. There's somebody much worse off than me. I went to a place once in another country, and I've told you this before, and I was bringing some machinery in all these crates and stuff. And I saw this crowd of people at the gates of the factory. And I said, what are they all doing there? And after they unboxed all of the stuff, and it was these big wooden crates, and they put them out there, those people mobbed those pieces of junk wood. You know why? That was going to be their house material. See, we're so ungrateful. That was what they were going to use to build whatever they were going to build. I had to just thank God. I have somewhere to live. I have clothes. I have shelter. See, otherwise, we will only praise God when things go good. That's not a sacrifice of praise. He says, give me a sacrifice of praise. Philippians 4:11, let me keep on reading. He says, I know, this is Paul, I know both how to be abased, that means to have a, you know, be in humble situations, and I know how to abound. You'll remember him writing a letter saying, please bring my coat. It may have been an old beat-up coat, but wherever he was, he needed a coat. He didn't have the money to go buy a new one. Didn't go to Walmart. He said, when you're coming, please bring my coat. I need it. Paul had learned to be abased, and I know how to abound. He knew how to when he had much. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But he doesn't end it there. He says, verse 13, I can do what? All things through Christ which strengtheneth me. See, when God sees our declaration of faith, even when we're in need, even when we come to church, and I know I said it last week and I say it so often, but I can't help thinking about David and the fact that his child died. And the first thing he does is he still comes to church. Some of us, as soon as some little thing happens, you don't see you for like a month, 2 months, 3 months. You get upset and we don't see you again. David, his child died. He's praying for God to heal the child. The child still dies. He gets up, and the first thing he does, he goes to church, and he worships. He doesn't just go to church and, okay, preacher, make me move. Put on a show. Say something to me. No, you bring your own praise. You bring your own praise. I'm not here to hype you up. I'm not here to hype you up. All I can tell you is the word. If the word don't move you, I'm not going to try. Amen, Sister Johnny.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. That's why it's best when you come to church, it's best to come for the love of God and not for people, not for anything or not for anyone, but to make sure that you is rooted and grounded in the word of God and that you have a love for God, because everybody make mistakes and everybody have faults and shortcomings, and we're all going to get on each other's nerves. But when it's all said and done, if we can just stay connected and believe that God loves us and that we're going to see each other with God, then we will be winning.
Amen. Amen. See, when we are murmuring, we are actually negating God's plan for our life, because he says this is the will of God. And Paul here is giving an example that even though he's been through all these circumstances, he says, In the end, I can do all things. Come on, let's say it. I can do all things.
I can do all things.
Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Tomorrow morning when you get up, you better say that. Declare it. You may be in pain. You may be facing all kinds of negativity. But let's give the devil a black eye. Let's, instead of complaining about the manner, man, I'm tired of this. I get the same bread every single day. They keep paying me the same wage every single week. I'm tired of it. I want them to give me more. Let's just be thankful. The Bible says he knows what we need. But God operates on the basis of faith. And faith is manifested in our praise, actually. Because when you're in faith, you're rested. You're happy because you trust God. Now, listen, I understand in this flesh, sometimes we are going to get a little bit scared. We'll look at the huge precipice. We'll look at the tribulation, and we'll get a bit upset sometimes. We might get a little bit fearful. But you know what you have to do at that time? Remind yourself. He took me and he helped me slay the bear. He helped me slay the lion. When you start to get weak-kneed, start thinking back about the past miracles that God has. Has God done any miracles for anyone in here? Am I the only one? Has he ever done anything for you? Bible says if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So when you're facing a crisis and, you know, your flesh wants to start to get fearful, think back, wow. I can think back how he saved my house from foreclosure, amen. Wiped out all of the debt I owed. And it wasn't a little, it was a huge amount. I can think of the many times he has done just such great miracles. And when you think about that, you'll start smiling. I'm smiling now because I'm thinking of the great things God has done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, Paul here is encouraging the Philippian church. Listen, this is how I got through. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. He goes on to commend them anyway for ministering to his need. Notwithstanding, he have well done, and he did communicate with my affliction. Now, I want to show you, we've been talking about unthankfulness, but I want to also focus on how you can be thankful. I showed you the negative things that happen when you're unthankful. It just blinds you to God's blessings. It takes you into an atmosphere of depression, really. Amen. But I want to show you what happened, at least when they first came over the Jordan. You know, it didn't last, but when they first came over the Jordan, this is what happened. In Exodus 15 and verse 20, "And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, 'Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed.'" Amen. Sing to the Lord, for he hath triumphed. You see, that's about being thankful. See, we need to learn to be thankful, because thankfulness is the beginning, really, of praise. Lord, I thank you for waking me up this morning. I thank you for your greatness and your mercy and your love. There is such a power in being thankful as part of praise. There is a power in just praising God. Hallelujah. You see, that's what they did. As soon as they saw what happened and how God took the same thing that they came over on dry land and destroyed Pharaoh's army, they had a worship service right afterwards. Amen. Amen. They had a worship. I challenge you, the next time you get bad news, get on your knees and start worshiping. Instead of asking God to fix it, just say, "Thank you, Lord. I know you have this. I know you know it already, Lord. I'm just going to start thanking you. I'm going to lift up your name. I'm going to lift up your hands, amen, my hands, and I'm going to just start worshiping. Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." When they left Egypt and they had come up, let me tell you something. Here's something you might not have realized, but there's better ways, there was easier ways to get out of Egypt than the way that God led them. Did you know that? God deliberately led them to a place where they had nowhere to go. Mountains on either side, channeled into this narrow little valley where the Red Sea was and Pharaoh's army. There was no way out of it. There is another way to get to Canaan that doesn't involve going over the Red Sea. You can go around the easy way. Why did God lead them that way? Amen. So he could show them his miraculous power and glory. If you don't need a miracle, you'll never see a miracle. Think about it. If you don't need a miracle, why would you ever see a miracle? God wanted to show them his glory, but more than that, he wanted all of the countries to which they were going to hear about it. Man, did you hear what the God of the Israelites did? He led them all the way around on dry land, and it was easy for them. That's not what they heard. When they got to Jericho, Jericho was locked up for a reason. They were terrified. When they spoke to Rahab, she said, "Listen, the word has come about you guys, how he dried up the Red Sea and how you crossed over on dry land." The word wouldn't have come if he led them on dry land the whole way. Think about it. See, what we're going through, God is using our circumstance as praise. As praise. See, it was a great miracle because all the people of the land were already terrified of them because they had heard what had happened. They had heard how he had taken them, dried up the Red Sea. How had they heard? Because it was noised abroad. They had a praise party. Word went out, "Listen, look what God, the God of the Israelites has done. He dried up the Red Sea and destroyed Pharaoh's army when they tried to follow him. We better get out of here." Amen. So a lot of stuff we go through is so that we can have a testimony. If God hadn't done what he had done for me, what could I tell you today? What could I tell you today? I wouldn't have a testimony, but I can tell you he saved me from 3 serious car accidents. He has shown me that he can financially deliver me in need. I have a testimony today. Amen. Amen. And some of the things we go through that we don't understand is because God wants to use our circumstance as worship, as praise. Amen. But we are so focused on complaining and murmuring instead of worship and praise. Verse 21, "And Miriam answered them, Hey, get the timbrels. Let's get praising. Let's give God his due today. Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Amen. You see, God wants us to be thankful. Of course, in the New Testament, one of the great examples of that was the 10 lepers. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met with him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. In those days, leprosy was so contagious, they didn't have a way of stopping its spreading. So the only rules to contain it was separation. You couldn't come near if you were a leper. You had to ring a bell. You had to warn people, I have leprosy. You can't come near me. This was the terrible condition of these people. But they knew, they had heard something. What had they heard? They had heard about healing. How? Because someone was sick. You can't have healing if someone's not sick. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about how you get a testimony, how you become thankful, how you get the power in praise. The reason why they were shouting at Jesus is they had heard something had happened to some other people. Amen. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And, you know, this is, of course, something of an act of faith in itself, because many times when we ask God to fix a problem, we already have it in our head how we want him to do it. Okay? Okay, I want you to fix this problem, and I want you to fix it this way. Right? Okay? Most of the time, it's money, right? Fix it this way. Just give me some money. Let me have the Reader's Digest. Let someone come knock on my door with a big check and say, hey, you have won. Yes. And that's the concept we have in our mind. We have already predetermined how God must fix it. And Jesus wanted to show, no, don't lean to your own understanding. Instead of just saying, be healed, he said, go show yourself to the priest. Wait a minute. That's not the plan. You mean I got to go to the church? Yeah. Now, Jesus can do it any way he wants. But sometimes he wants to show obedience. They may have said, well, that's not how you heal the other folk. I heard how you healed them, and you just spoke to them. Why do we have to go and show ourselves? You know, praise is actually part of obedience, because he said, this is the will of God concerning you. Concerning you. If we understood that, that this is how God works sometimes, we may not understand why we have to do it a certain way, but this is what they were commanded to do. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they were being obedient, then the miracle happened. Hallelujah. I can imagine that they went around all sad. Wow, now I can't beg anymore. Now I'm going to have to actually go to the mother-in-law's house. Give her a hug. Do you think they were unhappy about it? Somehow I don't think so. But they forgot to be thankful, save but one. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And he wasn't quiet about it. The Bible says, with a loud voice. I used to be embarrassed about telling what God did for me, because most of the time it was some stupidity on my part. But I've learned to give him thanks with a loud voice. I'm not going to be ashamed to tell you how God got me out of a mess. He wasn't quiet that he had had leprosy. You know, now he was cleansed, he could have gone about and pretended it had never happened. Maybe that's why the others didn't come back. They just wanted to pretend. Oh, no, we weren't with the lepers. We were never like that. A lot of us are like that when God saves us. We were never like that. No, that's not how I remember it. But this leper was so thankful. It said that he came, he turned back, and with a loud voice, he let everybody know, I once was lost. I was lost. But he wasn't quiet about this. He worshiped. He was thankful. Now, do you think Jesus was pleased with that? I think so. The reason why I know, because he asked, well, where's the rest? Have we been ungrateful sometimes to God? And he's saying, well, where's the rest of your praise? You know, when we come to God here today, we owe him praise. He doesn't owe us anything. And if we would just be obedient and confess our situation and say, Lord, in all things, in everything, even though I'm struggling right now, even though in my flesh I'm not feeling good, even though my mind wants to depress me, Lord, I want you to give me a testimony of victory. I want you to give me my miracle. When Joshua and Caleb came back, they were the only ones to say, wait a minute, no, you 10, why are you depressing the people? Look what God has already done. We are more than able. We are more than able to take this land. So you know what? Caleb, he claimed almost the worst piece of property in Canaan. A mountain full of all the giants. That's mine. I want that. Now, that's praise by being showing faith. He claimed the worst piece of property that he could have, a mountain that was full of the giants in the land. He said, yeah, I want that. That's going to be mine. And you know what? The Lord gave it to him. He said, give me my mountain.
Hallelujah.
Now, that's faith. That's faith. Give me my mountain. That, think about what he's asking for. He's saying, give me the worst place to go fight, full of giants and a mountain. That's what I want. And he wasn't no young stripling either. He was getting up in age. I tell you, when God sees that kind of faith, you're going to get your mountain. You're going to get deliverance. You're going to get your testimony. Amen. Amen. You know, Jesus said that in the mouths of infants have I ordained praise. That's because little children have a lot of faith. When I was a little child and my dad said he's going to do something, I didn't even question him, right? It's going to happen. If he said he was going to get me a train set, it's just a matter of what color and how, and you know. But when we get old, we start to doubt. We start to, well, I don't know if God's going to do it. He does it for other people. Amen. I have to hire Sister Brownie.
And we release him to be God in the situation.
Amen. In fact, murmuring and complaining is really praise to the devil.
Amen.
We're really worshiping the devil when we start to murmur and complain because that's what he wants. Amen. But I think the greatest thing that we have to be thankful for is salvation.
Glory.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
We can go into heaven
you,
maimed with one leg, half an eye, no arms. But we can't go into heaven without salvation.
Glory.
Ephesians 1:5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise.
Yes.
To the praise of the glory. You know why God loves us? Because we're, you know, when you see your children happy and you want the best for them, doesn't that make you feel good?
Yes.
That's what God wants for us. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. It wasn't only to Jesus that the voice said, this is my beloved son. But you'll find in the New Testament, that in the book of John, he says, we have been accepted And Paul in here says, into the beloved. God is looking at as his beloved. And if we understood that and were grateful, amen, and had a heart of worship and of thankfulness, hallelujah, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That alone should make us thankful. I am forgiven. I am forgiven. I can come boldly to a throne of grace. Amen. To receive mercy. I am forgiven. I am blessed. I am highly favored. I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. The Bible goes on to say in verse 8, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. We are to be the praise of his glory. When we start to worship, amen, and be grateful. You know, if you're a parent, there's nothing better than when your child is grateful and shows appreciation. You've striven and you've gone out of your way. You made a sacrifice to get them something they want, and they're grateful. Doesn't that make you feel good? That makes you feel to want to do more for them. Amen. Imagine if tomorrow morning we get up and we're just thankful. Lord, I thank you. I worship you. I thank you for all that I may not understand what I'm going through, but you're giving me a testimony. You're giving me a testimony. Hallelujah. And here's something else that thankfulness does. And it's a huge, huge thing. It brings us into God's presence. It brings us into God's presence. When the temple was finally built by Solomon, they had a huge dedication service. 2 Chronicles 5:11. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. What he's saying is normally, as I've taught before, the Levites were divided into 24 clans. And each week, one of the 24 clans ministered at the temple. But on the day of the dedication, the whole congregation of Israel came together. And they were all there worshiping. And this is what they did. All the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, they had a worship service. For hundreds of years, the Ark of the Covenant had to sit in a tent. But here, finally, they had built a place of worship. And they had a great worship service. I know in our church, we probably have more praise and worship than, you know, singing than a lot of other churches. And I think that's great. This is what happened. They came and they had a worship service, arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. When you get into an atmosphere of worship, God's presence is going to manifest. And it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, so to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, that when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled. That's what I want today. I'd like this house filled with the presence of God. Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. That's what praise will do. It invites God's presence. That's what true praise on one accord will do. It will fill the house. That's what we want today. So that no matter how you came today, no matter what struggles you're going through right now, that God's presence fills not just this house, but this house. Gives you peace, joy, amen, and a rest, understanding that he's got this. Whatever you're going through, he's got this. so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Amen. Let's stand. I have a couple more slides, but we'll stand. We'll close at this point. That's what we want today. For the glory of God to just fill this house. Not just this building, but our hearts. With thankfulness. With love. Hallelujah. With worship. Because Paul said, in whatever circumstance. Whatever circumstance. Can you say that? Whatever? Whatever. 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 Whatever circumstance. Whatever circumstance. Satan, you are not going to take my praise today. You are not going to take my joy today. It doesn't belong to you. I'm going to give it to the one who gave me life, who gave me a song. Hallelujah, and I'm going to worship you today because it doesn't belong to you. Whatever circumstance, you tell yourself that till you believe it, till it manifests in your life, it manifests in your walk. Whatever circumstance, I am going to lift up your name. Whatever circumstance, whether I don't feel good, whether I can't pay my bills, whatever circumstance, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to thank you. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to have a testimony. I'm going to have a testimony. Whatever circumstance. Whether it's relationship, whether it's children, whatever circumstance. I have learned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you what, there is such a power. Next week we'll be studying praise as a weapon. So we might as well just start now. Whatever circumstance. Amen. You tell the devil, you speak it out. You speak words of power and praise to your circumstance. You be like Caleb and said, give me my mountain. I face that challenge, devil. We are more than able. I can do all things. All things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Caleb could have picked anywhere. He picked the worst part of real estate in all of Canaan. The one with the mountain full of giants. He said, give me my mountain. And the Lord gave him his mountain. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when we don't back down from Satan, despite all of his arrows of fear and of depression, and we look at him and we say, listen, I can do all things. Hallelujah. You bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Let it find good soil as we lift up your name, as we praise you, as we give you all the glory. Hallelujah. That you will give us a testimony of victory. Hallelujah. We declare it right now in the name of Jesus that we will take that mountain. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, and we give you praise. We worship you. We are thankful for all that you have done in our lives, and we claim the victory in Jesus' name. Let's give God a clap of worship.